This is Cicely Tyson. The stage is dominated by the grand old Steinway. It stands in immense and impassive dignity, open and waiting for her. The small, white pinafored girl in the wings stares out, transfixed by it. Dominique Genet is in sudden awe and terror of the instrument. At this moment, she has completely forgotten how well she knows and loves the piano, how long they have been devoted friends. She works her fingers, clenching and unclenching over and over again. She is frightened by what she must now do. She hears the stirrings of the audience and knows that they, too, await her.
Am I overly anxious, or should Dominique have come out by now?
Oh, you are nervous, Antonia.
Maybe we've pushed her too hard. Just because we're both musicians doesn't mean that she has to be one. 11 is young for such an important first recital.
Oh, she's ready. Dominique was born for this.
I'm not so sure. Think of the pressure. Look around, Michael. Half the Philharmonic is here.
Oh, they are friends, our colleagues. Of course they're here. Don't worry about Dominique. She thrives on pressure. That's what makes her excel. She's our daughter, Antonia. Don't worry.
Dominique knows exactly what is expected of her. She must walk slowly across the stage, seat herself at the bench, place steady hands on the keys, and play. Play brilliantly. She knows this, and yet she cannot move. She was certain that the Mozart sonata was burned into her consciousness, but now it has escaped her. She cannot recall a single note of it. Her mind is a blank, her legs paralyzed, and everything is swimming in a dizzy vision before her. Then, without knowing how, she's out on the stage. Each step brings her closer to the piano, and finally, she's there. Her mother and father watch from the audience. Michael and Antonia Genet, two impervious professionals made vulnerable by their love for their child. Dominique begins.
She is a genius.
She is a child, Michael.
Oh, one can be both. Listen. Listen to her. She will be the greatest pianist of our time.
A stage bare, but for a luminous little girl seated at a shining black piano. Dominique Genet is immersed in the moment and the music. Her father listens to her and is intent upon her glorious future. And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, Unfinished Concerto by Pamela Russell. Our stars, Joan McCall and Len Bierman.
Ten years have passed since Dominique Genet's first recital. She's 21 years old now. Her father's belief in her genius has been confirmed. Her Carnegie Hall debut at age 15 was a triumph. She's come a long way since that first terrifying recital. The stages and the audiences are bigger now, and so too sometimes are the fears. Today, it is only rehearsal. Dominique is a soloist, but she's not alone. An entire orchestra is ranged behind her, and before her is the young composer-conductor, Eric Ryker. He has the reputation of a temperamental tyrant. Rehearsal has stopped. Everyone is waiting for his words, and they are excruciatingly slow in coming.
Miss Genet, I hardly know what to say. I can't believe this is only our first rehearsal. rehearsal, it is astonishingly good. It's been a long morning. It's nearly noon, and I think that a lunch break is in order.
There's just one thing, Mr. Riker.
There is?
At the beginning of the second movement, I heard a slight distortion, an imbalance. I'd like to do it again.
Miss Chenet, you've beaten me at my own game. I can see that you are an even greater perfectionist than I. Perhaps when we return from lunch, balance will have returned also. 1 o'clock, everyone back here promptly at 1, please. Aren't you going to lunch, Miss Janet?
I want to go over the beginning of the second movement.
Alone?
So it would seem.
Oh, we'll be at it for hours this afternoon. You should have something to eat.
I will, but it doesn't take me an hour to eat a carton of cottage cheese.
That's not lunch.
It's all that I require.
Is it?
Yes. I think that sitting for an hour, eating a heavy meal and drinking a bottle of wine is excessive, indulgent, and bad for one's concentration.
But good for the soul.
Yours, perhaps, not mine.
What is good for your soul, Miss Janet?
The music. That's all I want or need.
Come to lunch with me. No arguments. Bring your cottage cheese along if you must. I want to speak to you. Come.
You're even more arrogant and imperious than they say.
Tell them that the next time you see them, whoever they are. I hate to be underestimated. Let's go, Miss Chenet. I wonder what sort of wine to order with cottage cheese.
White, of course.
Do you know that this entire lunch we've talked nothing but music?
What did you expect?
I thought I might get to know you, learn something about Dominique Chenet, the person. Not just the beautiful and brilliant prodigy in a pinafore.
Please, I discarded the pinafore a long time ago. But you have learned something about me. I'm only surprised you didn't already know it.
What's that?
I am only a musician. Single-minded and probably very boring. Music is my life. Always has been and always will be. I'm a pianist, and that's all that I am.
Really?
Yes.
I think that's very sad.
Why?
You're missing too much of life.
Who are you to say, to make that kind of judgment? You're completely consumed by your work.
It takes one to know one. I know what I have, what I don't have, and what I suddenly wish I'd had.
You sound as if you were 100 years old. I know how old you are. Not nearly a century. Barely over a quarter of one.
You know my age in years.
26. The boy wonder and enfant terrible of the music world. Everyone knows how old you are.
But I'm much older than that professionally, just as you're far beyond your age as a pianist. But the pair of us, we're infants when it comes to living. We don't know anything but music, you and I. Don't you agree that's rather sad?
No, I don't. I'm very happy with my life.
I would have said that, too, yesterday before I met you. Why is that? Why do you make me feel as if I'm missing something?
I don't know.
Why do you bring tears to my eyes when you play my music? Can you tell me that, Dominique?
Because I understand it, and I love it.
Then you understand me. Perhaps you could even...
I think we should go now.
Back to your piano, back to my baton. Back where we safely belong?
Yes.
Will you have lunch with me tomorrow?
I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea.
We have a whole week of rehearsal ahead of us. Are you going to say no to me every day?
Are you going to ask me to lunch every day?
Yes. So give me your answers to Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, right now.
You want too many answers too fast. One day at a time, all right?
You already said no to tomorrow.
Why don't you ask me again tomorrow?
Is there a chance you'll say yes?
Yes.
Then I'll ask.
Riker's newest concerto is a stunning success. The newspapers call his music and Dominique Genet's playing of it inspired. The perfect wedding of an artist and a work of art. On opening night, the composer, conductor, and the soloist stood together on stage after the performance and accepted the sustained and deafening applause from the audience. Now, in the less glamorous setting of an airport, they again stand together. There are no roses and no ovations. Only two people saying reluctant goodbyes in a crowded terminal.
Do you have your boarding pass?
Yes, right here.
Are you sure you want to carry that bag? I could still have it checked.
No, I'd rather keep it with me.
Union Airlines, flight 381.
It's time.
There'll be at least two more calls.
I always board on the first.
I could have guessed that. Dominique, why can't I come with you right now?
You really don't understand, do you? This is a bit of a bombshell I'm going to be exploding.
You're right, I don't understand. Are your parents going to object so violently to our getting married?
It is rather sudden. I left New York 8 days ago, Eric. I hadn't even met you then. As a matter of fact, I was certain I was going to dislike you when I did, and I was very vocal about it. I knew you only by reputation. My father teased me, and then he said I was frightened of you. Maybe I was. Maybe I was afraid I wouldn't be good enough. I wanted to impress you. I wanted so desperately to knock you right off your podium.
Well, you sure did. I'm still reeling.
So am I. Now I have to go home and tell them that I fell in love with the egomaniacal Riker and that I'm going to marry him. I think they're going to be slightly shocked at the news. It's better if I tell them my own way and alone.
3 days, Dominique. That's all you have.
Union Airlines, flight 381.
I'll be in New York in 3 days.
You better be, or I'll come looking for you.
I feel like a kid, except I never felt this way even when I was one. I miss you already.
Is this real, or are we dreaming?
It's real.
I wish I were so certain.
Are you sure of yourself, the way you feel about me?
Yes.
Then it's me you doubt.
I don't doubt you, Eric. It's just that I know you so little and I love you so much. It's a very strange, unsteady way to feel.
I know this happened fast, awfully fast, but it's right, Dominique. We're right and we're real. You can be sure of that.
Last call for Union Airlines.
3 days.
I'll see you Thursday. Goodbye, Eric.
Don't say goodbye, not to me, not ever. I hate that word, and especially from you.
Thursday, then.
Thursday.
Dominique!
Daddy! Mother!
Hello, darling.
I thought you'd just send the car. I had no idea you'd come.
Oh, we wanted to surprise you.
Besides, we couldn't wait to hear all about Los Angeles and the terrible Eric Riker. The papers were positively ecstatic over you. When we read them, we nearly cried.
Oh, what nearly? We did cry. Well, let's not stand about here. I swear this airport gets louder and dirtier every time I see you. Come on, let's go.
Are you glad to be on your way home, darling?
Yes, very glad.
Oh, this is the first sun we've had since you left. It's ran for over a week.
How was sunny California?
Oh, sunny, I suppose. You know, I saw the inside of the theater mostly.
Hey, well, I've heard that Riker is obsessive about rehearsal, but the end result shows it. The work most definitely shows.
Not on Dominique. I expected an exhausted wreck to come off the plane. You don't look tired at all. In fact, you're positively shining.
Those kind of rev reviews would make anyone shine.
I can't stand the suspense another minute. Tell us all about Eric Riker.
Well, he's not at all what I expected. I've never felt such an affinity for anyone's work as I do for his.
Well, everyone knows he's a brilliant composer and an enormously gifted conductor. But what about the man himself? I don't suppose he allowed anyone too close. I would think the aloof authoritarian would be his style.
He let me close enough.
What do you mean, Dominique?
I mean, he let me close enough to fall in love with him.
You're joking.
No, it's true.
Dominique, you're too young to know what love is.
I'm 21 years old.
I think what your father means is that you're not exactly an ordinary 21-year-old. You've been sheltered.
Buried, you mean. Buried under a piano.
So you're in love. What happens now?
Eric and I are going to be married.
When?
Soon. As soon as possible.
And what about your music?
I'll continue on, of course. Eric knows how much my work means to me.
I doubt that.
You're behaving as if I told you that I was marrying a rodeo rider. Well, I thought you'd be surprised at the suddenness, but I never expected this reaction from you. Who in the world could possibly understand me and my work better than Eric?
It might have been easier for you if you'd found a rodeo rider, darling. It can get very difficult. There are conflicts, even rivalry, between a man and a woman who are trying to live and work together.
But you and Daddy...
had our share of problems,
well,
darling.
Well, that's not really to the point, anyway. Your mother and I are first-class musicians. We are craftsmen. You and he are something beyond that, on another plane altogether.
Maybe you're right, Daddy. Maybe Eric and I are different from other people. And that's what makes us belong together.
I don't want to see you sacrificing yourself and your genius on the altar of Eric Riker's ego.
Oh, you don't know him.
And you do, after 1 week with him, huh?
I love him, Daddy.
When do we meet him?
He'll be here on Thursday.
Well, I suppose the wedding is on Friday.
I only wish it could be. Please be happy for me.
We are, darling.
Daddy?
It's your life, Dominique.
Yes, I'm finally beginning to realize that.
It was a sort of gossamer stuff from which fairy tales are spun. Enough to make romantics and newspaper editors weep with joy. Eric Riker and Dominique Genet, the music world's golden boy and girl, were news. Big news. Their engagement, wedding, and subsequent mutual concert appearances sold papers and tickets. Even after nearly 8 years of marriage, the public interest in the couple has not in the least flagged. Vivid proof of this is Evangeline Carruthers, a reporter from the Atlanta Scimitar Press, who is interviewing them in their hotel suite. Her style is languid southern urgency and sweet insistence. She's on the alert for a story, any sign of trouble in paradise, and she quickly hones in on the chain of trembling cigarettes Dominique is smoking one after another.
Miss Genet, what about a family? Are you planning to have children?
Oh, I think that Eric and I are a family. For now, children are something we want, but not necessarily something we've planned.
How do you feel about that, Mr. Riker?
I think Dominique put it very well.
I wonder if we could stick to questions of a more musical and less personal nature, Miss Carruthers.
Why, of course. How are you liking our lovely Atlanta?
Just lovely.
We consider Atlanta to be a city of true music lovers, and that makes us very happy to be here.
Several times I've heard you two referred to as spiritual twins. What do you suppose is meant by that?
I think it's the similarity in our musical natures. Creatively, Eric and I are very attuned to one another.
Oh, only creatively?
No, I didn't say that. I didn't mean to say that. I meant, I was trying to explain the spiritual twinship you mentioned. Our careers are so closely tied together, and, that's all I meant to say.
After Atlanta, you go to Houston, Tulsa, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle. That's quite a schedule.
Yes.
What's next?
You mean, is there life after Seattle?
We'll take a rest after this tour is completed, but I doubt it'll be a very long holiday.
No? Well, you certainly deserve a long one.
Both Eric and I get bored. Well, not exactly bored, but too long a layoff.
A rest makes us restless.
I see. Oh, it must be grueling traveling from city to city trying to perform at your peak night after night.
You can't just try. You must perform at your peak every night.
Do you think anyone is capable of that?
Yes.
Do you give a peak performance every night, Miss Genet?
Dominique has maintained a level of excellence throughout her career.
It's a terrible grind. I've been touring nearly half my life. I must confess it was easier when I was 16.
You mean some of the excitement, the glamour has worn off?
Excitement? Glamour? Well, I don't think I've ever thought of my music in those superficial terms. My career is based on total dedication and simple hard work. It has nothing to do with glamour or excitement.
Do I detect a note of disenchantment?
No, not disenchantment. Weariness, maybe.
And we do have a performance tonight. Have you gotten all that you need, Miss Carruthers?
Oh, I think I have. Thank you so very much, Mr. Riker. It was a pleasure. Miss Genet, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Dominique, are you all right?
Yes, why?
You're usually so wonderful with the press. Do you know the impression you left that woman with? You came across as the classic high-strung prima donna.
I'm tired. Tired of reporters. Tired of all the people who come chasing after us, asking stupid questions that they already believe they have the answers to. They think they know it all, and they know nothing, nothing about us. They print lies and what they think they've seen or heard, and all it is what they came wanting to see and hear.
Are you crying?
No.
Dominique.
I'm all right. My knee gave way on me.
Again?
What do you mean, again?
You said it was your knee when you fell last week.
Well, it was. It is. My left knee has always been weak.
I never knew that.
You don't know everything about me.
I thought I did. Maybe you should see a doctor.
That's ridiculous. I'm fine. Really, I am. How can I prove it to you? Jumping jacks, sit-ups, a few laps around the couch, or shall I call Evangeline Carruthers back? Now, that would be a true test of endurance. I'm all right, Eric.
I'll be glad when we finish this tour.
So will I.
We'll go to the farm.
Yes, and sleep for a whole week. Go for long walks with the dogs, feed the pigs.
Eat like pigs. Oh, Mrs. MacDougall's cherry pies, I dream of them.
I wish we were there right now.
But we're not. We're in Atlanta.
I don't suppose we could count on General Sherman marching in and burning it again before tonight's performance.
Be glad Evangeline Carruthers didn't hear you say that.
Was I really awful with her?
No, not really. It's just that I know you so well, and that edgy person being interviewed, I didn't know at all.
I didn't know her either, Eric. Every once in a while, I get the strangest feeling. It's as if I'm two people. One of me is standing back and watching the other. I feel detached and disoriented.
Is that what happened the other night?
What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
No, I don't.
Dominique.
The Chopin Nocturne.
Yes. You repeated the opening four times.
I know how many times. Believe me, I know.
I've seen it happen to others, but never to you.
I didn't think I was ever going to get out of it. I couldn't seem to break through. I thought I was going to be up on that stage all night playing the same thing over and over. I was lost. I couldn't find my way.
Why didn't you tell me about it? Why did I have to be the one to finally bring it up?
I was hoping that I'd imagined the whole thing. I knew I hadn't. But I was hoping, and when you didn't say anything about it, I thought that maybe...
I was waiting for you to mention it.
Did everyone notice? Were they all whispering about me and laughing
at
me?
No, the audience didn't know. Only I did, I think.
My father would have if he'd been there. Thank God he wasn't. He would have been so disappointed.
All you have to do is mention him, and you're 11 years old again. You're not his little girl genius anymore, Dominique.
I know. Eric?
Yes?
Were you disappointed in me?
No, but I am worried about you. Don't you know yet that you're all I care about? You, Dominique. If performing is beginning to make you unhappy, then I want you to stop.
I can't stop. If I'm not playing, if I'm not a pianist, then I'm nothing.
You're wrong.
Am I? I guess I've always felt that if I stopped performing, you'd stop loving me, that our life together would be over.
I'm not your father, Dominique. If you never sat down to a piano again, you'd mean just as much to me. Shall I cancel the rest of this tour? I'll do it right now.
No, don't. This is just tired, middle-of-the-tour talk, that's all.
Are you sure that's all it is?
I want to finish. I promise I can do it. I've never canceled a performance or broken a promise. I want to finish properly.
All right, but after this tour, we're signing no contracts, making no long-range commitments. Agreed?
Yes.
We'll go to the farm and stay in seclusion for a while. I'm going to spend my time convincing you that we don't need any of this to be together. All we really need is each other.
I want to believe that. I want so much to believe it.
Then do, because it's true. You're the woman I love, the woman I've been married to for 8 years. Just so happens you play the piano.
I love you.
Then we've got it all. We don't need applause from Tulsa or newspaper kudos from Seattle. You and I, we've got it all.
Again. And here's the fourth act of Unfinished Concerto. It's been a beautifully happy time for Eric and Dominique. After 3 months of slow summer blue sky days, they finally feel ready to begin planning and thinking of the future, their future. The farm is starting to flame with autumn foliage, and there is a fresh early morning chill to the air. They are walking in the woods. Their Irish setter, Max, runs ahead, his auburn coat occasionally flashing in the sun, but more often unseen, camouflaged in the newly fall-colored forest.
I've started work on something.
Thought you had. You began last week, didn't you?
Yes. When did you guess?
Immediately. The closed door of the music room in the mornings. The little tantalizing bits and pieces I could hear you playing. I knew you were working. I wanted to go in, but I wanted to be invited.
I was hoping to surprise you. It's for you, Dominique. A concerto for you.
For me? Oh, Eric, when will I hear it?
Oh, not for a few months yet.
Oh, such a long time. I don't know if I can wait. Yes, I do know. I can wait. That's what this summer has done for me. It's given me a surety about life that I never had before.
I think I know what you mean.
I don't feel driven any longer. I'm at peace. That terrible urge, that compelling need to be on stage to perform has disappeared. I'm perfectly content to play for myself, for you, for Max. Now, Max is really a terrific audience, you know?
Yes. I was beginning to wonder if I'd ever compose again. I hadn't created anything in so long. I didn't realize how the endless concert appearances were draining me, drying me up inside. This summer with you has been so filled with beauty and love. I had to express it, and the best way I know is with music.
So the concerto.
Yes. I don't know how you'll feel about this, but I'd like to do only one or two concerts a year from now on. That interminable touring is at an end for me.
For me, too.
Really?
Yes.
You won't miss it?
No.
Tell me something.
Anything.
Not even once this summer did you look up at the night sky, feel the soft, dark air, and think of a lighted amphitheater? Not even once did you see the stars and wish that there was an audience and you playing Brahms beneath them? Not even once?
No. I never once wished myself away this summer. I only wanted to be here with you. You've begun a creation, the concerto. I want to play it. Oh, how I want that. But there's something I want even more.
What?
I want to begin a creation, too. I want to have a baby.
I've been wanting you to say that.
Did it get colder all of a sudden?
No, are you chilled?
Yes, to the bone. Strange.
Your hands are like ice. Let's head back.
Where's Max?
Off chasing rabbits.
Maxie, come on.
Here he comes.
Oh, come on, boy. Come on, Max. I'll run with you for a little bit.
Dominique.
Eric, I can't feel my legs. I can't feel them at all. It's as if they're not there. Eric, I can't move.
Don't try to get up. I'll carry you.
What happened? What's wrong with me?
We'll call Dr. Gordon as soon as we get to the house. You're going to be all right.
Yes, but how about you, poor thing, having to carry me for over a mile?
I told you not to eat that second piece of pie last night.
It's all right, Maxie. Don't worry. It's going to be all right.
Good morning, Dominique.
Hello, Dr. Gordon. What is it today? Do you want more blood? I'm not sure I have any left.
No more blood.
I've never been poked and prodded so much in my life. 3 days of your tests. I keep telling everyone I feel much better. No one seems to listen. So what medieval torture is in store for me today?
Oh, no more tests or tortures, Dominique.
Oh, then you found out what's wrong with me.
Yes, we have.
Well, just tell me quickly and tell me truly, Doctor.
Well, there is a tissue in the body called myelin. It insulates the brain and the spinal cord. If this myelin becomes damaged in any way, messages from the brain can be misdirected or even lost.
And that's what happened to me? My myelin is damaged?
Yes.
So when I fell the other day, it was because the message from my brain to my legs wasn't getting through.
Yes.
Kind of a short circuit.
Well, that's an oversimplification, but yes. Can you think back and recall any other times when something like this has happened to you?
No, I don't think... Wait, yes. In the middle of our last tour, I was feeling really tired, unusually so, and I did fall a couple of times, but I could get right back up. This time was much more severe. I couldn't move. Eric had to carry me, and I couldn't walk for hours. Well, even now, when I walk, my legs feel stiff. I kind of lurch. I thought it was being in the hospital in bed so much that was doing it, but that isn't the reason, is it, Dr. Gordon? It's all connected. It's the same thing, isn't it?
Yes, the messages are still being slowed.
Well, what do you call this thing that I have?
It's a demyelinating disease.
Will you have to operate on me?
No.
Well, how do you cure it, then? How do you repair the damage to this tissue, this myelin?
Well, at present, we don't know, but there is research being done.
You're saying it's incurable. You can't help me. I'm not going to get better. I'm going to get worse.
Well, not necessarily. Generally, it's a progressive disease, but we simply don't know what course it will take in your particular case.
Well, you're a doctor. How can you possibly not know?
Oh, Dominique, I am a doctor, not a god. This is an extremely complicated disorder. It's erratic and affects each person differently.
You called it a demyelinating disease. Is there some other name for it?
Yes, there is.
And you're afraid to tell me. What is it? I want to know.
Multiple sclerosis.
I'm going to die.
No, that's one of the many misconceptions about MS. Most people with multiple sclerosis can expect to live their normal lifespan.
In a wheelchair.
Not necessarily.
You keep saying that, Doctor.
Well, I'm sorry, Dominique. Multiple sclerosis follows no rules. We only wish we could control it. It's one of the cruelest of all diseases.
Well, what message could be lost next? Will I go blind? My hands were feeling heavy this morning. What does that mean?
Well, this is one of the reasons we're reluctant to tell MS patients about their disease. It's a terrible, almost unbearable thing to live with because there's no certainty. I can't predict a remission or another attack, but either one is possible.
It's not fair. It's just not fair. Dr. Gordon, I was planning to have a baby.
I don't recommend that you do, but
I could, still.
You could, but I strongly suggest that you don't. Oh, Eric.
Hello, Dr. Gordon.
Oh, I have to finish my rounds, but I'll be back.
How are you feeling?
All right.
The doctor won't be back for a while. Why don't we take a walk up to the solarium?
I don't know if I feel up to it.
I could get a wheelchair for you.
No.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Let's walk to the solarium.
Can I help you?
I can manage.
Has Dr. Gordon said anything about when you can leave?
It's pretty grim around here, isn't it? All these sick people. I've always hated sickness, don't you?
I don't think anyone likes it.
What I mean is, wouldn't you hate being around sickness, someone who is sick all the time? It would be an awful existence, don't you think? Watching someone deteriorate, being tied to a hopeless cripple.
Dominique, what's the matter with you today?
What's the matter with me today? Well, I can tell you what's the matter with me today and the rest of my life. Dr. Gordon just left me with his diagnosis. Do you want to hear it?
Of course I do.
Don't be so sure.
Tell me right now.
I've forgotten how impatient you can be.
Why are you doing this?
Because I don't want you to know. I want to have just a few more minutes of your not knowing. Because when I tell you and I see your face, there'll be no going back ever again.
What is it?
I have multiple sclerosis. MS, you know. Surely you've seen the telethons.
What exactly does that mean?
Well, that's the tricky part. It seems there's nothing exact about multiple sclerosis. I just have to wait and see what happens to me next.
You mean we have to wait?
No, I do.
What are you saying?
I want you to go.
Go? Go where?
Away from me. I want you to leave me.
How about what I want? Have you given any thought to that?
Yes, that's why I'm telling you to go.
That's what you just said you wanted, but that's not what I want.
What do you want?
To spend my life with you. I thought you knew that.
But everything is different now.
What's different?
I am.
How?
I just told you.
You told me you have multiple sclerosis. How does that change you?
Only completely. Do you want to see me walk? I stagger like a drunk. In my hands, I know that soon I won't have the control to play the way I used to, and maybe not at all, never again.
You fear that? How can you know it?
They're my hands, and I know it. I asked the doctor about having a baby. He said he wouldn't recommend it. He strongly suggested I not attempt it. That's excellent bedside manners. What he was really saying was an emphatic no. I can't give you a child. I can't play your music. I can't even go for a walk with you in the woods. That's how I've changed, Eric.
And you want me to leave you?
Yes.
And then what would you do?
Slowly die.
Let me tell you something. That's not the way it's going to be. I'm not leaving, and you're not dying. You've just told me what could happen, what you think you can't do, but I don't believe it.
You must.
No, I mustn't, and neither must you. We'll walk in the woods together again, slower maybe, but we'll walk. And as for a baby, I don't want bedside manners from Dr. Gordon. I want reasons, good reasons from him why we shouldn't have a child. I think we should, and I think we will. My music? The concerto is yours, Dominique, not mine. And it won't ever be finished until you play it. You're the one I love. You haven't changed, and I haven't. Maybe this condition of yours will change a lot of things, but not us.
I want you to be realistic.
And I want you to have some faith.
It's hard to have faith when you could be in a wheelchair tomorrow. Eric, do you really want a wife in a wheelchair?
I can only say to you what you once said to me. You want too many answers too fast. One day at a time. Ask me tomorrow.
Is there a chance you'll say yes?
Yes.
Then I'll ask.
The auditorium is nearly full. In the front row, there's one empty seat on the aisle. The crowd grows quiet at the appearance of a man slowly walking behind a woman in a wheelchair. They pass through the silent audience. She remains in her chair, and he takes the aisle seat beside her. Conversation resumes, and they, the man and the woman, are the object of cold and curious gossip.
Oh, isn't it sad?
What? Don't you know the story?
No, what?
Well, that's Dominique Genet and Eric Riker who just came in.
Eric Riker? The famous conductor?
Yes, and his wife. You know about her.
No, tell me.
Oh, it's so sad. She was a pianist, a wonderful, I'm told. Then she got multiple sclerosis or muscular dystrophy, one of those diseases, I can't remember which. Anyway, it was so tragic. Her career was ended.
Why are they here?
Well, their daughter, Emily... Oh, shh, it's beginning. I'll tell you about it later.
She's so like you, Dominique.
Yes. Remember my concerto, Eric?
Yes?
I never got to play it. But Emily will. She'll finish it for me, for us all.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you five nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Unfinished Concerto, was written by Pamela Russell and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your hostess was Cicely Tyson. Our stars were Joan McCall and Len Bierman. Featured in the cast were Hans Conried, Mary Jane Croft, and Gene Howell. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI. Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you in part by Kodak Paper. When you get your pictures developed, be sure to ask for the only paper in the world that says, "This paper manufactured by Kodak." And by Kaopectate. It's the number one recommended anti-diarrheal by physicians and pharmacists.
This is Leonard Nimoy. Tomorrow at this same time, the mood is no longer romantic. It's adventurous. My kind of story. Join us, won't you?